And let's pray. Father, we've come here this morning. We've come to worship and give you praise. We've come that you may have a word for us this morning. So, Father, as we gather together as a church, we thank you, Lord, that we have the freedom to worship. Help us never to take this for granted, this time that we meet together and this time that we pray together. So, Father, I just ask in Jesus' name, apart from you, we can do nothing. So I pray, Lord, sincerely that you would speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. You guys ready for God's word? Yeah, you guys excited? You know what my prayer is this morning? That you stay excited. Because today's word is not easy. It's not, yeah, I know. So here it goes. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Can we put on our tough skin today? All right. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, notice, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teacher of the law arguing with them. So there's a big argument happening. As soon as the people saw Jesus, this is what got my eye. As soon as the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and they ran to greet him. And notice the question Jesus asked in verse 16. What are you arguing with them about? A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son. I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him into the ground. He foams in the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive this out." How many want God to drive some things out in your life? He said, "I asked your disciples to drive this spirit out, but they could not." And Jesus replied, "Oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I put up with you?" Ooh, Jesus, it's not nice. "Bring the boy to me." So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming in the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has it been like this?" He said, "From childhood, it's often thrown him into the fire or the water, trying to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," Jesus asked. "What do you mean, if I can? Everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I believe, help me overcome my unbelief." How confusing is this guy? "I believe, help me overcome my unbelief." And when Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and you mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never," notice what Jesus said, "never enter him again." See, God doesn't want to give you just temporary deliverance. You guys know what that is. It's you're good on Sunday, but come Tuesday or Wednesday, you're back at it again. Amen? All right. Where are my real people at? Amen? Amen? Can you say never again? Never again. Can you just imagine where you look back in your life and because of Jesus you can say, "I will never do that again. I will never struggle with that again. That will never be a part of my life." That is complete deliverance.
And that's not what we're seeing in the church today. But see, Jesus commanded, never enter him again. And the Bible says that at that moment, the boy was delivered. Let's go to Ephesians 4:27, one verse. Do not give the devil a foothold. What's interesting about this verse, it's written to a church. Is it possible for the people of God to give the devil a foothold? The answer is yes, because it's in the Bible. God tells this church through Paul, tell them, Paul, tell this church to stop giving the devil a foothold. Got it? What is a foothold? It's when you allow the devil to get some type of authority in your life to take over. So this morning, I'm going to preach to you because we're in this series on warning. And as we go into this next warning that I'm going to give you, it's a warning that all of us can suffer from. It's a warning that all of us, if we're not careful, can become a part of our lives. So first of all, I'm going to warn you that just because you're in church today, and just because you're a believer, does not mean that the devil has left you alone. It is the opposite, amen? Now that you are a believer, now that you are following Jesus, it's when he has a target on you and he wants a foothold in your life. But the real warning I want to give you, are you ready? The real warning I'm going to give you is the warning of a spirit of contradiction. You're saying, that's not me. But see, to contradict means that what you say does not match what you do. And I believe that if we're not careful as a church, we can say one thing to God and about God, but our lives demonstrate something else. See, I can say I trust God. I can say I believe God. I can say I have faith. But behind closed doors, if I'm living with constant fear and anxiety and worry, does my mouth match my actions? Then I have become a contradiction. You can say, I'm sorry, God. I'll never do it again, God. This is my last Sunday, God. I leave it in the altar, God. And then do it again on Monday. So what you said on Sunday does not match what you did on Monday. Then you are a contradiction. So by a show of hands now, if we could get honest with ourselves, no judging, how many of you can look back at a time in your life? Not now. I'm assuming right now you're not doing this. But has there been an area in your life where there has been contradiction? Show me your hands. All right. Then this message is for you. Congratulations. Give God some praise. This father is desperate. He's desperate because years ago he got this son in his life, a little baby boy, and everything was great, everything was fine. But then all of a sudden he noticed that there was something in his behavior and a spirit had overcome him. And the Bible says that this young boy would have convulsions and throw himself to the ground to the point that he would try to kill himself. So this young boy grew up to be a teenager. Some also believe he grew up to be an adult. And his whole childhood, he's struggling with this evil spirit that is overpowering him, causing him to want to end his life. And the father is tired of it. The father wants to see some deliverance. The father wants to see some change. The father then goes to a group of religious leaders and disciples and says, I need help. I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of this struggle. I'm tired of seeing my son suffering this way. So he goes to all these religious people and he goes to the disciples of Jesus and the people begin to pray. They begin to just worship. They begin to say all these amazing prayers, and maybe the religious people were quoting all these Old Testament scriptures and the disciples were doing these amazing prayers, but nothing worked. So Jesus walks in and he looks at the people. When I read this passage, see, I imagine that before Jesus stepped in, the Father brought the boy to all these leaders and disciples, and it must have been a beautiful service. I imagine that the disciples prayed amazing prayers. I believe that the religious leaders quoted these beautiful Old Testament scriptures. Maybe someone started singing, I don't know. But regardless, I believe that at this moment, they had this amazing, what appeared to be this amazing church service. But what's so sad is that when it was over, they still had the same problem. When it was over, the devil still had him. When it was over, nothing has changed. See, when I read this, I said, God, is that my church? See, like this man, you know, we can get together as a church. We can pray beautiful prayers. I can read you beautiful scriptures. We can hear beautiful worship. You can worship. You can lift your hands. You can hold your Bible. You can give hugs and shake hands and have an amazing church service. But just because it looks like a great church service doesn't mean that deliverance is happening. You can have the best of the best in any church building, and I guarantee there are still people in bondage. And I don't know about you, but I can get frustrated and tired that when all of this is over, that the devil still has you. After you've sing the songs and heard the sermon and you ate the food, you know, and you worshiped and you fellowship and you did all of that Sunday, after every Bible study, after every church event, and you call this church your home, and that's great, and everything is beautiful. But I wonder, this is one question to you, what happens after all of this is done? What happens when you get home and you're by yourself? Does the devil still have you? Are you still in bondage? Does it seem like you do all these churchy things and nothing changes? Does it seem like you're doing the right steps, but the pattern doesn't change? The bondage is still there and you're back in it again? See, the devil didn't care that these people were praying. The devil didn't care that these people were quoting scripture. Because he knew that after all of this is over, that boy is still going to be mine. So just because you're here right now in this church service, and maybe you're listening online and you're listening right now and you're saying, wow, what a word. Just because you sang, just because you showed up, doesn't mean that it's working. You can sense the frustration in this man. This man, Jesus shows up and he gets mad. Jesus shows up and this man comes up to Jesus and he's like, hey, Jesus, it's not working. I brought them to you. And nothing's changed. What I love about what Jesus did is when Jesus walked into this room, he walked into this crowd.
a people. He asked a profound question in verse 15 and 16. Let's read it. When Jesus stepped up, the Bible says that Jesus, as soon as they saw him, they were overwhelmed with wonder and they ran to greet him. And Jesus asked, what are you arguing about? Verse 17, what are you arguing about? Let me ask you this question today that Jesus asked. That word argue is a Greek word that has two definitions. The first definition means to go back and forth. That's what an argument is. Back and forth. She said this, I'll say that. They did this, I'll do that. Back and forth. And another translation of that word, argue, means to struggle. So when Jesus asked, what are you arguing about? Listen, he wasn't asking, hey, what's this fight about? What's the conversation about? Because Jesus heard. You know what Jesus was asking there? The same question he might be asking you. What is it in your life that you keep going back and forth to? Come on now. What is it in your life you're struggling with that you just keep going back and forth with? And one minute you say, this is it, I'm not going to do it anymore. And the next second you're back in it again and you're back and forth. Many of you, you're arguing with your sin. You're arguing with your lust. You're arguing with your pornography. You're arguing with your addiction. You're arguing with your bad attitude. You're arguing with unforgiveness. You're just back and forth, back and forth. You say you forgive them, but you still bring it up. You say you're going to stop, but you still slander them. You say this is the end, but you go back to the website, and you're back and forth, back and forth. And Jesus steps up, and he said, what is it that you're back and forth with? What is it that you're struggling with? What's the struggle all about? What is it in your life you can't seem to let go? What's with this, all this back and forth? With lust, wrong relationships. I'll leave them. Baby, I miss you. Come back. It's over. Come back. Habits. Sin. Back, come on, say it. Back, forth. See how quiet it is? You know what that is? It's conviction. Your silence tells me today you're back and forth with something. If not, I would not be preaching this. You're back and forth. Playing the game with God. Let me tell you the first sign of a spirit of contradiction in your life. Back and forth. Arguing. Fighting this. Jesus shows up. Everyone stops arguing. Did you notice that? You didn't notice? No? Verse 15 and 16. Let's read it. Notice what the Bible says. They came together, yes. Notice they were all arguing, the teachers of the law. Verse 14, around them there were teachers of the law arguing back and forth, struggling. We already established that. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and they ran to greet him. Man, they changed quick. They're like back and forth. Jesus! Hey, brother, how are you? The first sign of a spirit of contradiction is you change only when people are watching. Hello? You change because the pastor's around. You change because people are watching. But you wait until you get home by yourself. I won't cut you. You're the best wife ever. The best husband ever in front of couples. You don't even know how to put your arm around her anymore, but you do it during lunch or dinner with other couples. But that same hand does this at night, and I can't stand her.
It's crazy how we can instantly become the people we need to become when the people are around. It's crazy how you can stop using profanity instantly around the right people. It's crazy how you can stop your bad behavior around certain people. The second Jesus stepped in, the arguing stopped. Could it be that the Lord is saying, you should live like I'm always watching you? You should live like I'm always there. And maybe then you'll stop struggling with that sin in your life. Because you convince yourself no one's watching, but someone always is. His name is Jesus. He's right there with you. But the second Jesus steps in, they stopped arguing and everyone started behaving. And I looked at that. I never noticed that in that scripture. But they came to greet him. So they came from arguing to being nice. Don't you see that that's the back and forth of contradiction? You're one way in front of other people. You're one way in church. You're one way in front of your coworkers, in front of your boss, in front of your spouse. You're one way when they're there. But the second they're not, you're back and forth with the same struggle. Am I preaching to someone today? You only change when people are around? That's the spirit of contradiction. It's more about looking right than being right with you. It's more like looking holy than being holy. Looking like you got it all together than actually having it all together. You're only looking like your marriage is perfect when it's not. You're only looking like your family is together when it's not. It's only together in the right functions. But aren't you tired of that? Aren't you tired of knowing the only reason you stopped is because people are watching me? Don't you wish you can be truly who you are in front of people? But Jesus asked, why are you arguing? He didn't care about the greeting. He didn't care about the nice behavior. He got down to the root problem and he said, hey, what's all the back and forth about? What's the struggle about? So I ask you again, in your personal life, when no one is watching, what are you going back and forth with? Are you back and forth with pride and arrogance, bitterness and hatred? Are you back and forth with lust and sensuality? Are you back and forth with wrong habits and behaviors? You know, Jesus looks at you right now and he's not impressed with the outside appearance of who you are in front of people. He looks at you right now and he asks you personally, tell me, what is it you're back and forth with? What is it that you're struggling with? And in verse 21, he asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood. So Jesus asked two powerful questions. What are you going back and forth with? What is your struggle? And the next question he says, how long have you been like this? How long? Some of you could answer that right now, and you might say, since childhood. I've grown up this way. Last month, it's been a month, it's been a year, it's been 5 years. But the answer to this question was, Jesus, it's been too long. Has it been too long for you already? Are you tired of the back and forth with your sin? Are you tired of the back and forth with your behavior that does not honor God? Are you tired of only putting on the show when people are watching, but when you're in private, the devil still has you. What I love about this is that the child throws himself on the ground. Because you're probably wondering right now, well, Pastor, I am tired. I am tired of the spirit of contradiction in my life. I'm tired of saying one thing and doing another. I'm tired of going back and forth with the same struggle. It's been too long. What do I do? How do I get out of this? Because just because a guy said it's been like this since he was a child, Jesus still fixed him. So let me tell you this morning, you might have been going back and forth with the same habit, lifestyle, sin, whatever you want to call it, for years. The Lord Jesus Christ can change you today. You might have been going back and forth for months, for weeks. The Lord can change you today. The Lord doesn't want to give you partial deliverance. He looks at this demonic spirit and says, never again. And I want that in my life. I want to look at my life and say, that sin will never again have me. And I want to look the devil in the eyes and say, never again. Or as Frankie says it, not today. Amen. Not today. Because I'm tired of a church that gathers only to look pretty and sing the songs and read the scriptures. But when it's all over, the devil's at home waiting for you saying, welcome back, I miss you, let's go back and forth. Am I preaching truth this morning? Are you tired because Jesus looks at you and he asked another question? How long? Has he been like this? So you say, long time. And here's another question that's not so pretty. How long would I put up with you? Can I talk about the Jesus that's not nice? It's the Jesus that tells the truth and says, I'm not going to put up with this sin much longer. All of you that think grace, you know, it's just like NASCAR when they pull up to the pit and they fill up the car to keep going. That's not grace. Grace is not Jesus pointed into your life so you can keep going around in circles in your same sin. Come on now. Grace is not that. Grace is not an excuse for you to feel justified that you can continue in sin. And Jesus says, how long would I put up with you? Because that's a powerful truth. There comes a point that God says, I'm not putting up with you anymore. The Bible says he will give you over to your sin. Oh, but he's loving. Yeah, he's merciful, but he's also just. And let's face it, some of you will never change until the Lord hands you over. And I'll tell you that right now because just this week, our church was at the rescue mission with all these men who would never have changed had the Lord not handed them over to sin and lost everything. The Lord handing you over to sin is not him saying, I'll never change you again. He's saying, I'm going to let sin have you so that when you're hit bottom, I'll be there. But stop thinking that the Lord is going to put up with sin because he loves you. He said it right there. How long would I put up with you? How many times are you going to tell me, I'm sorry, Lord, and go back and forth? How many times are you going to say, this is the last time, God, and go back and forth? How many times are you going to say, never again, Lord, and back and forth? How many tears are you going to weep? Saying, Lord, I repent. But you repent from your repentance, so it's turning and then you turn again. Jesus asked you this question this morning. How long? Why don't you answer that? Why don't you man up and woman up and really tell the Lord, I plan to do this till I'm
you know, ready to give my life to you. I plan to do this until I get caught. I plan to do this for my whole life. Because the Lord looks at you today and He says, I can change that right now. I can deliver it right now. You see, a spirit of contradiction, number one, tries to only look right in front of others. Number two, verse 24, this is a crazy thing. This is what blows my mind. Let me just share this first. The kid is on the floor. He's rolling around. He's like the exorcist right now. He's vomiting, head's twirling, whatever. And he's like all foaming, like, ah, you know, and he's crazy. And Jesus asked this question. Hey, how long has this been happening? You know what I find crazy about Jesus? He never runs to the child. Did you guys notice that? He never runs to the child and say, child, I'm going to deliver you, I'm going to rescue you, I'm going to save you. He doesn't even acknowledge the child. He sees the child rolling around, he's foaming in the mouth, he's going crazy, and Jesus doesn't even turn to him. He turns to the Father and says, hey, how long has this been happening? And they start having a conversation about faith and belief. And I looked at them and I asked the Lord, Lord, what were you thinking there? But here's the thing I want to tell you. This man came to Jesus blaming him. He was questioning the ability of the Lord to deliver. He was blaming him. He says, I brought him to you, but nothing worked. And the reason that Jesus turned to him and not the child, because the child was not the problem. The problem was the father. You know, and I see that people today, when they don't change, they blame God. And I hear it all the time as a pastor. Oh, I tried church. I tried it, and it didn't work for me. And you want to blame God? You want to blame? He blames the disciples and he blames Jesus. What does that mean? Some people blame God, other people blame others. But it's never you. No. You're never the problem. I'm never the problem. I can blame God, the church, the pastor for my lack of spiritual growth and change. I can blame people, the people who have hurt me, the people that should have been there for me. I can blame my parents. I can blame my family. I can blame Christians. But no one seems to ever be wrong nowadays. You notice that? See, the spirit of contradiction will always blame others, but never take ownership of their own faults. And they want to say, I haven't changed and I am who I am because of them and because of him. That's why Jesus never addressed the boy. Because the real problem was the father. You want to blame God, you want to blame churches, you want to blame leaders, you want to blame life, you want to blame your childhood. But the problem is you. We want to try and say, no, it's not me. But think about how many things in your life would get better if you would change today. How would your marriage change if you stopped trying to change your wife and you changed yourself? How would your marriage change if you stopped trying to change your husband and you changed yourself? I had to represent the guys too. How would your kids change if you stopped trying to change your kids and you start changing your parenting? Come on. It's easy to shift focus and blame. But can you imagine that God is saying today, if I can just change you, everything else will follow. If I can change you, it will bless your family, your marriage, your finances, your health. The problem is not your marriage, your finances, your health, and your marriage. That's just a surface problem of a root issue. But there's a root problem for every problem in your life, and the problem is you. You guys getting this? I know you're not liking it, but are you getting it? All right. So Jesus turns to this guy and says, verse 24, this man with the contradicting spirit, the boy's father immediately exclaimed with his mouth, first, what? I believe. If you stop reading it there and blind yourself to the comma after, doesn't that sound so beautiful? Jesus shows up, and this man just says, I believe. But that little semicolon, how many of you have a semicolon in your life? You say the one thing that's right, but what about after? He says, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I can't stand people like this. Jesus is like, which one is it? No, I believe, but I don't believe. It's like, definitely, maybe. That's a man that has a spirit of contradiction. You know what this man is doing? He was saying the right thing, but his heart said something else. He was telling God, he was literally telling Jesus, exclaiming, I believe. That sounded nice, but the real problem in the root issue was that wasn't true. See, you know you have a spirit of contradiction not only because you try to look nice in front of people, but you try to sound nice. You say the right things. I'm not taking that away from you. You know how to talk. You're smooth. You know what to say. But your heart says something else. You say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize. But your actions say you're not. Because you're back and forth. You say, I love you. But your actions don't show that because you're back and forth. You say, I'll change. But you don't. Because your heart is back and forth. Oh, you say, God is first in my life. But your life doesn't show that. You see how easy it is to live in contradiction because you know to say the right things, but not do it. Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, he looked at these religious people that I think we can become, and he says, these people honor me with what? They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are so far from me. You notice, what was Jesus looking at? The heart. See, he doesn't care what you look like. He doesn't care what you sound like. He cares about who you are. And I believe that there are so many people today that are realizing now after this message that you have a spirit of contradiction. Because you care more about looking right, sounding right, than actually being right with God.
Help my unbelief, he says. Help me, God.
If you're here this morning, God is warning you that you could have a spirit of contradiction. That who you are on the outside is not who you are on the inside. And he doesn't put up with it much longer. Let me explain to you as we close here what this man really says to God. Jesus challenges him to do something that if you want to break this spirit of contradiction in your life because the devil loves it, he doesn't care that you're in church. He doesn't care that you're singing songs. He doesn't care that you're worshiping. Because he knows when it's all over, I'll still have you. You'll still be going back and forth with this sin, this struggle. You'll still be living frustrated like this man. You'll still be blaming God, blaming people. And you'll never experience the freedom and the power of God in your life. But if you're tired, if there are people here this morning that are tired of the back and forth and the back and forth and the struggle with the back and forth, and you're arguing with your sin every day, and all you want to do is blame others and blame God, but why don't you take ownership of your own sin and realize that if God can just change you, everything else around you will follow. Stop asking God to change your marriage, your kids, your job, your finances, your health, your career, your future, your path. Stop all of that noise. And get to the root of the issue and say, Lord, change me. Because you can get to that level with God that he says it will never happen again. The very thing that you have been growing up with, the very sin that you're back and forth with, Jesus has the power to overcome it in your life where it never happens again. That is complete deliverance. Because you know what this man has? I'll prove it to you. Because maybe it's you this morning. Are you ready for the third one? Verse 17 through 18, let me read this. You guys with me this morning? He says, Teacher, I brought you my son who's possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Verse 18, this is where you're at spiritually with the Lord. Ready? Verse 18, what's that word? The first one you see. Whenever. What does that tell me? It says, whenever it seizes him. You know what this man just tells Jesus? There are some days it doesn't seize him. There are some days it's good. There are some days he's fine. There are some days everything looks okay. But when it seizes him, it grabs him, he's back to it. That's your spiritual level today. I believe that that is the spiritual level at Forward. I believe that you have partial victory, that there are some days you're fine. There are some days you're walking in victory. There are some days everything seems okay, but you know that you don't know when it's going to happen again. You don't know when you're going to get back to it. And maybe you say, man, this is the longest I've been without doing that. And God says, yeah, but you still did it. Number three, he says whenever, because people that live with the spirit of contradiction only have partial victory. So it means that maybe Sunday you're encouraged and you stop, and Monday you're strong, but by Tuesday you become weak, and by Wednesday you give in, and by Thursday you're crying again and saying, Lord, I'm sorry, to come back on Sunday and saying, Lord, I feel good again. And you're back and forth. Aren't you tired of saying whenever?
I hope I can make it long this time without smoking, without drinking, without cursing. I hope I can, you know, really make it this long. And Jesus says one thing. He catches this man in his contradiction. Let me read it to you. Verse 17, a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams in the mouth. He gnashes his teeth. He becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive it out." Look at the contradiction. Jesus, I brought him to you, and I asked the disciples to cast him out. Jesus, I brought him to you, but I asked the disciples to cast him out. He's contradicting himself, isn't he? Which one is it? Did you bring it to Jesus or did you bring it to the disciples? And Jesus says, bring him to me. Wait a minute, but the guy said he did, but he really didn't. Some of you are still in the struggle because there are certain things in your life you really haven't surrendered to God. You only pretend you have. You only said you did. But it's still in your life and you have to today surrender it to God. And Jesus said, here, bring me the boy. See, he's mad at God. He's mad at the disciples. But he never truly brought it to Jesus. So you have a choice today. You can stay going back and forth in your struggle. You can stay going back and forth in your sin. You can stay going back in your bondage where the devil has you. You have a choice to live in partial victory, or you can choose today to surrender completely to Jesus, give it to the Lord, and have him say, never again. Never again will it bother you. Never again will he have you. If you really bring it to me and stop giving me this lip service. Stop trying to just show me that you're right. Because notice what Jesus said, and here's how you break that spirit of contradiction. This man first said, I brought you my son. Got it? Say got it. The last verse, Jesus says, now bring me your son. You know what Jesus said to this man? If you will really do what you say, you'll find deliverance. Because it's so much easier to talk it, right? But what if you really did what your mouth said? You know, you say you put God first. What if today you say, you know what, God? I'm really going to do it. You say you're sorry, but what if you're really going to do it? Because I know maybe you're tired of the back and forth. You're tired of saying and talking and only looking like you're right with God. But today God says it doesn't matter how long it's been. It doesn't matter how powerful the devil is in your life. It doesn't matter the struggle that you have. If you really bring him to me, if you truly surrender to me, I can give you such deliverance that it will never happen again. Because the problem is not what's happening on the outside of you. The problem is what's happening on the inside of you. It is your lack of faith and unbelief. It's a spiritual problem that's been manifested in the physical realm. And if you want to fix the physical on the outside, you have to change the spiritual on the inside. And I'm tired of churches only focused on the physical. We got to get back to the spiritual matter in our hearts. Because God says, man looks at the outside, but I look at the heart. What does your heart say to God? Does it say, I only have partial victory? Are you good only some days, but not most days? Are you leaving this service today back and forth with your sin and struggle? Or are you going to man up today and make the decision that today will be the last day and never again will this be in my life because I'm going to surrender it to Jesus one more time? With every head bowed and every eye closed today, we're giving you the warning of contradiction. Stop saying what you think God wants you to say. You only say what you think God wants to hear. Stop trying to be someone you're not only because people are watching. The real question is what are you struggling with? What are you back and forth with? If you're here today, you're saying, Pastor, I'm back and forth with one thing in my life. Maybe two things, three things, multiple things. Just show me your hands today. No one's watching. God bless you. You're there all around the room today. What are you waiting for? Do you want to continue to go back and forth? Because what if I'm right? And you're the problem. That means that if you fix yourself, everything else around you would be healed. Say, Lord, the problem is me. It's not you. It's not them. It's me. Tell the Lord what you're back and forth with. What sin are you back and forth with? What relationship are you back and forth with that the Lord tells you to let go? What habit are you back and forth with that you promise yourself you're going to stop? Because I know that you're tired of the partial victory. Like this man, he had good days. Because he said whenever it seizes him. So there were days that it wasn't there. But there were days that he woke up and there it was again. The Lord did not die on the cross to give you partial victory. He died to give you complete victory over sin. And there are things in your life you might have grown up with in your childhood, like this man said. There are things in your life you might have done your whole life, but today you can stop. Because the Lord and His Holy Spirit can give you the supernatural strength and power to overcome what you cannot overcome yourself. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, today as we sit here in church, as you listen online, there's a spirit of contradiction everywhere. There's contradiction in marriage. There's contradiction in the home. There's contradiction in the family. Lord, there's contradiction in the church. Father, I pray for those here today that are tired. And they're saying, Lord, I want to be set free from this spirit of contradiction. If that's you this morning, I challenge you today to stand up to your feet where you're at. But if you're serious about getting serious, stand to your feet. If you're online, pray this with me. If you're here today, and maybe today you're wrestling with God, you're fighting God, and Jesus says, you got to stop fighting me, and you got to just bring it to me. There are things that you might have thought you gave to the Lord, but it still hasn't changed because you really haven't. If that's you, you stand up. You say, Lord, today I truly surrender this to you. And if you're here today, real change comes with Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sins. And He loves you. And the Bible says if any man confess with his mouth that Jesus is Lord, he will be saved. The biggest problem we all have is our sin and separation from God. Don't worry about fixing your life until you fix your eternity. Jesus died for you. And He says, just surrender to me. So if this is you today, you're saying, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. You stand as well. And I'm going to lead you in this prayer if you're listening online. For those here today who feel that maybe they're living under contradiction, and there's something you really have to bring to the Lord once and for all.
Just tell the Lord what it is in your heart. Just say, Lord Jesus, I'm back and forth with fill in the blank. Tell the Lord what you're struggling with. Tell the Lord what you want Him to stop, what you want Him to deliver. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, as you see these people before you, as they go back and forth with their struggle, you have the power to set them free. You have the power to help them overcome where it never happens again. You have the supernatural strength to overcome bitterness, habits, addiction, and sin. Father, I pray that they truly bring it to you now. Forgive them for blaming, for justifying, as they surrender it to you. Now give them the strength, Lord. And if you're here today and you're listening online, you want to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want to lead you in this prayer today. Just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Today, I bring you my life. I surrender it to you. I know you died on the cross for my sins. I acknowledge that with my mouth. And I surrender my life to you. Be the Savior of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give God some praise today. Hope you guys were blessed by that message today. I know it was a little tough, but you guys enjoyed it today?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Those of you who are quiet, you know, you needed it, so...